listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700 or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Allie Anenga is a candidate for the Albuquerque Public Schools, District 3. Hello,
yes,
Allie.
Hi. How are you, Jim?
Welcome
good
to ABQ
you again.
Connect. Yeah, good to see you. Last time we had you in, you were running for Congress.
Yeah, well, for House.
Oh, for House. That's right. That's
yeah.
right. That's right.
Not
yeah.
that crazy.
Yeah, you didn't want to do the Washington thing.
Right.
Allie, you're running for District 3 in the Albuquerque Public Schools for the school board. How many positions are open right now?
So we have 4 positions open. And the interesting thing is that there are no incumbents running. So I'm very excited because we're going to have a brand new board. Mm. We will have a brand new board. And I hope and pray that we have more conservative voices on the board.
Well, and when you say conservative, I'm kind of... The word progressive means something. The word conservative, both have been tainted,
yes.
I guess, in my view.
Yes.
And a school board is a bipartisan election.
Nonpartisan.
Or nonpartisan.
Yes.
We are trying to get people to understand who you are.
Okay.
And what you do and what you stand for. Why are you running?
So I have an interesting story. I was a teacher, and I came across a very good program for reading comprehension. And I took it to the curriculum advisor at APS, and they said, yeah, this is great. They talked to special ed and said, no, this isn't a recognized disability. So that got kind of shot down. And I thought, you know, I really want to help my students. I was a special education student for 6 years and taught science.
You were a special education teacher?
Yes,
okay.
I was.
Okay.
For 6 of the 7 years that I taught.
Gotcha.
And I loved the program. I actually helped a couple of students get out of special ed. And what I found is that you get more money for special ed students. And so they don't want them to get out of special ed.
Wow.
That's what I found. And so during that summer, 2015, I prayed. And so what can I do to help my kids? And the answer was get involved politically. And I said, I vote. I'm a citizen. I do my civic duty and I go vote in all of the elections. And, or at least the ones I know about. And, you know, I didn't know what to do. So one Sunday I fasted and prayed about it. And this was after the start of the next school year. I ran into, so I kept saying, you know, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do this? I don't know how to get more involved politically. 3 days later, I ran into the governor at a Circle K. Had a conversation with her, and in that conversation, she said, well, you know, you could run for school board. And so in 2017, I stuck my neck out, and I ran for school board for the same district against the incumbent. And we can talk about it later, but the union backed him. And I did get votes, and I did get my name out.
Oh, we are going to talk about the union.
Good. and so my answer was to run for office. And since that time, I have been trying to be, more involved in my community. And that is why I ran, because education, Jim, is like breathing to me. And I'll say that over and over. It really is. I think it's very important. I taught my students. It's the only thing you can take with you wherever you go. You may not be able to take those fancy jeans or tennis shoes or jacket or car. But you can take your knowledge. You can take what you know. And so that's where I am with that. It's very important that you have a high quality education. And right now our kids are not getting that with APS.
We all hear the statistics where New Mexico stands in terms of education. And I think a school district like APS is like, well, we're not that. We're not ranked last in the country. And that's a legitimate argument. But I would say in the same breath, we're not in the upper 10%.
No, we're not.
Why can't New Mexico be one of the best?
Right. So one of the things I would love to look at, and I talked to you a little bit about this, is just taking out the district, APS district, and what would the rest of the state look like if APS was gone? Hmm. Where would we be? 25th, 20th? Who knows? You know, it's something I want to look at when I have a minute. Or two.
Well, I suspect that we would still be pretty low. I mean, I guess the way I would look at the curve, it seems like if APS, compared to the rest of the country, I know in high school graduation rates is probably mid of the pack, 25, 27, somewhere in that range.
It's 29,
okay.
I think.
So I think that the curve, we are raising the curve a little bit in terms of APS, but let's get back to, we don't need to split hairs, but I want our listeners to keep in mind as we're talking here that, and you're going to bring this up, there's a certain amount of money being spent per student, which is
$18,500.
And that's one of the highest amounts of money spent in any school district in the country. And that's an APS. That's unfortunately not throughout the state of New Mexico.
Correct.
I can tell you this, there are some small communities with rockin' education systems that if they had $18,000 per student, they would be top in the country.
Yeah.
I mean,
they would.
And I guess what I wanted to appeal to everybody is why don't we, I mean, you just talked about innovating as a special education teacher and then had your idea shot down. Okay. I get that. And I can understand how that can happen, but you're one of those relentless people.
Yes.
You were there in 2017. Now you're back in 2021 and you're ready to run again. And you've learned a lot.
I have.
And you've done a lot of research and you've talked to a lot of people. So
absolutely.
You've already told us about your experience in education. How would you measure success if you were to get into the position? I mean, would you expect changes the first year, 2 years? How long is it going to take to get us up?
Well, there's got to be a strategic plan, of course. I mean, you can't change things overnight, unfortunately. And there's a lot that has to be looked at. I mean, the budget for one, we get $1.8 billion, and that's a B billion, which is like one-seventh, one-eighth of the entire New Mexico budget. So where is all of that money going? You know, we're supposed to be spending $18,500 per student, but we're not. I mean, as a teacher, I spent a lot of money of my own money on supplies for the classroom. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we need to keep the teachers happy for one, right? And we need to keep the students in the resources that they need. There are programs that are working and we need to develop those to make sure that they continue working, but there are programs that are not. And so why are we still throwing good money after bad? So there's a lot of things that need to be looked at.
And I want to maybe illustrate a point that you just made. I know that there are charter schools within APS.
Yes.
They're sponsored by APS that have high school graduation rates in the 95 plus percentile.
Correct.
But APS as a school district is down in the 70%.
74.
So again, what are their own charter schools doing that's having some success?
Well, you know, I mean, that's a very good question. I wish I knew. And I want to find that out. What are they doing that and why is APS so against charter schools?
And Allie, that's what I was just going to say. They're not looking to best practices. They're looking at, oh, they're taking money away from our control.
Correct.
So how can we get rid of them?
Right.
That just bothers me.
It does me too, because I am for school choice. I'm for school vouchers. I am for charter schools. I think that we need as much competition as possible. And so when people say, you know, charter schools aren't public schools, yes, they are. Some of them are. Some of them are state run. But I think they provide a great way for students to learn the way that the student needs to learn. So if you are interested in being, you know, in aeronautics, for instance, why is there not a charter school for that? Why is there not a performing arts charter school? Why are we so set on one size fits all for every child?
Well, here's another one. And I talked with a person who's running in District 6. Celia Cortez on the show, and we were talking about this very topic. And I pointed out that when I was in high school at El Dorado, when it was first built, so I dated myself already. I'm not going any further into that, but I remember taking auto body, auto mechanics, sheet metal work, all of those. I took all those vocational classes, and I could have come out of El Dorado and worked for an HVAC ducting fabrication company right out of high school.
Right.
Because that was
so where are those vocational
and
technical schools?
And I understand they're
schools.
Gone.
So they are gone. And my theory, my reasoning, I think, is that, and as a teacher, we had to push college. Now, not every student wants to go to college. I actually had an eighth grade student who said, because I was a middle school teacher, he said, Miss, why do you guys keep telling me to go to college? I don't want to go to college. Why can't I go to a school where I can learn to be a mechanic? Because I can turn a wrench,
yeah.
And I'm good at it, and I want to know how to do that and make money. Mm. So, and I said, that's a really good question. Where are those
schools? Well, it's the
schools?
Same question you might have for somebody that's gifted as an artist.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you, everybody can involve art.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think art and music are very important because they contribute to critical thinking.
Okay, but I also want to not just talk about those two things as contributors to education, but I also want to identify those that are, for lack of a better word, gifted
mm-hmm.
with special abilities in
right.
those areas.
Right.
Someone that is an artist that could go make a living doing that.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
don't have a way now in our education system to allow them to develop that.
No, we don't. And that's, I think that's a shame because every kid learns differently, mm-hmm. you know, and I think boys learn differently than girls, you know, I mean, we just learn differently. And I think it's important that we put the child first. That is my main goal in every decision I make as a board member is to put the child first. How is this going to affect them? And then look at the bigger picture. Okay. So how is this going to focus and affect this child or one child? How is it going to affect the classroom, the school, the district, the economy, the state, all of that? Education affects every single aspect of our life. And if you don't believe that, you need to look a little bit deeper. Because if you go to a McDonald's, there are kids there and they have pictures on the cash registers. And the reason they have pictures is because a lot of kids are graduating not reading at grade level. Mm-hmm. And so one of the main things I want to do is make sure that we get back to the basics. We talked about this a little bit earlier. We lost a year with COVID. And there's no way we can get that back, but we do need to make sure that our kids are getting the basics so that they can be successful. Reading, writing, arithmetic. That's it.
So you really, and you've kind of just answered this, but remote learning has really been a negative thing.
Yeah. So I've talked to a lot of different parents, and some of those parents have been very, very disappointed and unhappy with what happened with remote learning. So I had a friend who I talked to and I said, well, how did that go? He's got a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old. And he said he was trying to work from home. So he had one kid in one room, one kid in another room, and he's, you know, back and forth between the two. And just about every time he hit the 7-year-old's room, he was on the floor rolling around and the teacher's saying, come on, get back in your seat. So how much learning actually happened, right? And you've got teachers that are just, I'm sure that there were some classes that were okay and some teachers that were okay with that, but I just don't think that it was beneficial. I actually think it was probably detrimental.
APS is now in person,
mm-hmm.
And people that choose not to go in for in-person learning, I guess, can still do it online. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the protocols and things? I mean, do parents feel like their children are safe?
The more students I talk to, you know, they're starting to do their research about COVID, and they feel like, I'm not in danger, so why do I have to wear a mask? Mm-hmm. You know, I have my own theories on that, but I won't get into it. But I really feel like it ought to be vaccines, masks ought to be a personal choice. Mm-hmm. We should not be mandated. I mean, I'm old enough and savvy enough to know my physical history, and I know what I'm capable of, and I know, you know, I've got a very, very good immune system. And
yeah.
So, you know, and I know that I don't get sick often. And if I, you know, if I have a sneeze, I take my zinc and echinacea and my vitamin D and my vitamin C and I'm good, you know, and I know that about myself. So, my personal business, I'm a notary signing agent and I work with kids, to help them with their reading. But, if I feel like, you know, I always ask the client, do you want me to wear a mask? And it's for their safety, not for mine, because I, you know, I would never wear a mask again ever, and I don't, just because I'm healthy.
Yeah, but Allie, you're really questioning the science.
No, I'm not. I've looked at the science.
Yeah, so you've made a decision about the science.
Yes.
But here's the funny thing. So if you mention science to anybody in education across mm-hmm. this country, and you start talking about mask mandates, and mm-hmm. you start talking about what's coming out of the White House, this word science, I truly believe, means something different than what it's supposed to mean.
Right, and I think it's been hijacked.
Yeah, it's been hijacked. So, well, and I told you before we started the show, I spend, you know, obviously, this is not a religious program, mm-hmm. but we look at things from a Christian worldview.
Right.
We're going to look at things in light of the Bible, and we love the fact that people that are not of our same faith will come on the radio and talk to us about different issues, or mm-hmm. people that are just serving in a secular capacity, or they're doing things to love people or help people. I mean, we want to know what the community is doing,
right,
and how it's doing. But here's the part that bothers me is when somebody tells me that the curriculum for evolution in the Albuquerque Public Schools is based in science, that is absolutely the most ridiculous statement any human being could make, because there is no science to the theory of evolution.
Right.
And
right. It's
a theory. It's a theory, and it's been so smashed by scientists. I mean, there's no transition to the species. If you look at the different elements that are required for the creation of life, to this and that, I mean, there's nothing, no scientific method can be replicated about any aspect that they believe
right.
is true.
Right.
And so I don't know why we keep teaching evolution in our public schools. And I don't want to go in the weeds other than that it's all to illustrate that the word science is changed. And
yeah.
I think we need to get back to, we were just talking about, we saw each other last night at the New Mexico Business Coalition
yes.
Get together, their BASH event, their Business and Social Hour. It was nice for Carla to have us out there. But I enjoyed listening to the speaker. I enjoyed listening to Carla. And Carla was talking a little bit about the new methane rule
right.
that she just had a whole bunch of people talk about in the public schools, public citizens were allowed to contribute to the state environmental department's board. Comments could be made publicly, and they were considering this in their new methane rule.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're basically talking about is holding oil and gas producers responsible for the amount of methane that is released into the air. Well, at the same time they're coming up with this rule, the governor comes out with this, I want New Mexico to be the center of hydrogen production in the world. Cool. I love that idea. But
then they take water?
It takes water, but if you take methane, you can derive hydrogen from it. What I said on the show when I had Carla is I said, what if we got, what if we had New Mexico Tech, which is, by the way, one of the top ranked science universities in the country.
Right.
We all know our other universities, New Mexico State, University of New Mexico, Highlands, Eastern, Western. I don't want to leave anybody out, but we have a lot of universities. But then we have Los Alamos National Labs.
Mm-hmm.
We have Sandia National Labs. All of these entities could be involved in our elementary, middle school, and high school
Absolutely.
Systems throughout the state.
Absolutely. It's just not happening.
And we could have some really cool scientific discoveries if we did that.
We absolutely could. And, you know, I mean, that's something that we have to look at. I know that there are some community schools that are happening in Albuquerque. And so that's something I want to look at and see if that's a feasible way to make sure that our kids are getting the education that they want. My goal is to make sure that our kids are getting the highest quality education that they deserve. And they deserve a high-quality education, and they're not getting it. And so that needs to be looked at. So
well, we're going to talk about that simple stuff when we come back from this break. Allie Enenga is a candidate.
Enenga.
Did I
Close
say it
enough,
right?
Jim.
Close enough. Enenga?
Enenga.
Enenga. Got it.
Yeah.
She's a candidate for Albuquerque Public Schools District 3. And we're going to come back and talk about how the school board can improve academic outcomes, especially in literacy, because that's something you know a lot about. We'll be back after this. Stay with us.
I'm Johnny Erickson Tata, and I love Psalm 103, where it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name." Did you get that? all that is within me. Oh my goodness, may every part of me bless His holy name. Let me explain. After so many decades of quadriplegia, my bones are so tired and aching, and I often struggle with pain in this wheelchair. So sometimes my praise can sound a little half-hearted. But that is when I need to force all parts of me to join together and bless the Lord. No part of me gets a chance to slack off. Not my back, not my neck. No, may all that is within me bless His name. I know from experience that physical hardship can cloud our convictions about God's benefits. But listen, God has pardoned our sin, restored and crowned us with His love. So next time you're faced with hardship, get your body in alignment with your soul and get every part of you praising the Lord.
Skip Heitzig says you can glow in the dark.
We must never block the glory of the Son, S-O-N, the Son of God, in all of His radiance and glory. We, by our lives, must never diminish that glow, but we should reflect that glow.
Here's more from Skip.
For us to glow, we need to go close to Jesus, grow in Him, and in fellowship with Him, in proximity to Him, getting all of that warmth and glow, then our persistence will be more impactful. You're shining as a light in a crooked world. The world is watching you. How attractive is a Christian who does this all the time? Is that effective in winning people?
Use Skip's Bible reading plan on the YouVersion app.
So we glow in the dark by living our lives differently, by speaking the truth accurately. What we exemplify with our life must be amplified by our lips.
The KLYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect would like to thank Essenmacher Family Dental for their support of KLYT, with services including children's dentistry, preventive dentistry, and more. Their new Albuquerque office is located at 8310 Palomas Avenue Northeast, Suite C, 505-372-0086, or online at snmacherdental.com. Allie Anenga, she is Albuquerque Public School Board District 3 candidate. Who's District 3? What schools are those?
So it's Valley High and Albuquerque High.
Okay, so and all the feeder schools that go into those.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it's a very big character flaw, but I think about these schools in terms of basketball. Two-storied programs. Actually, growing up, and I'll date myself further, my father was an assistant basketball coach at Valley High School in track when I was growing up. I was on the Manal Tank Tigers swimming in their pool the very first day it opened. We had this great swim team. So, you know, I've been around here a really long time and seen communities grow and flourish. And, you know, I think that at one time, Albuquerque High and Valley were at the top of their educational recognition in our community. Love to see that. I don't know where they are now, but I know they could use more resources.
Always, always can use more resources instead of buildings.
What can you do as a school board member to help us, especially in areas like literacy? You mentioned you help people read right now.
Mm-hmm. So literacy is very important, of course, and they're taking, or they have taken out, a couple of things that are very essential to critical thinking. One of those is phonics. I think that phonics is the key to literacy. You can't memorize the entire dictionary by sight, okay? So, but you can sound out words and figure out what they mean with phonics.
Are they not using phonics now?
They're not using phonics. Maybe in some schools they might be using phonics, but for the most part, phonics have been taken out. So I think that's critical to reading is phonics. It gives you the basics, you know, the basis for every word.
Yeah. I remember sounding out words. In fact, there was a big push by somebody that had a product called Hooked on Phonics.
Yes,
remember that
I
advertisement
do. Yep.
Growing up? But it surprises me that you say things like that, because that seems like simple and integral to the whole process.
You would think so, right? But I know it's been in and out of the school systems, you know, for years. Phonics, sight reading, phonics, you know, CNC.
Allie, what's this early childhood education thing in 2020? And you know this because you ran for the House.
there were $3 million allocated by the legislature. And the year before that, there was $3 million allocated. So they had $6 million apparently in place for early childhood education. And here's the part that I question. No plan in place for how to spend it. In fact, one of the people that is no longer running for school board is David Piercy, who's actually served as the president of the board. He was on the show, and I asked him how they were going to use that money. He looked right at me and said, Jim, we've not even been consulted, nor are we going to have access to any of that money.
Interesting.
So what are they doing with this early childhood education, and what does that even mean?
Yeah, so I'd like to know that, too. I know we're, you know, the thing is, I keep saying this, we're throwing good money after bad. Where is the money going? It's not going for those programs. We need to make sure that the programs that are working stay in place. And the programs that are not need to be evaluated and dissolved if they're not working. So literacy is very important. We've, you know, some Title I students have had that taken away from them where they have an individual that helps them with their reading. And so it's been taken away. And that child suffers because they don't have the individualized help with reading. So there's a lot, like I said, and I'm going to keep saying this, there is a lot that needs to be fixed. There's a lot that needs to be done. And if it takes me 4 years, 8 years, 12 years, I'm going to work on that and make sure that our kids are getting the highest quality education they can get. So the money that is being spent on other things, such as buildings and property that we absolutely don't need. I would even look at consolidating some schools if we had to, you know, and that's not going to be very popular, with some teachers, but in order for us to make sure that we have the staff and that the students are taken care of and the teachers are taken care of, we got to look at that. We absolutely have to.
Allie, when you have a successful business, mm-hmm. you grow your number of clients, right?
That's right.
APS isn't growing in terms of number of students, is it?
No, they're losing students. We've gone since 2015, 94 to 72. Last year, we lost 5,190 is the number that I was given. Now, where are those students? Where did they go? And so are we still getting the same amount of money from Santa Fe, right? Are we still getting that $1.8 billion so we get more money going to less students? So what do we do to fix that? So consolidate, yeah. Right? Get rid of some of the buildings, sell some of the buildings, you know, sell some of the property. We don't need all of that. And like I said, that may be unpopular, but it's something that has to be looked at.
I'm going to stir the pot.
Okay.
Sorry in advance. Do you think critical race theory should be part of the history curriculum in our public schools?
Okay. So before I get into that, I'm going to tell you about a little bill that was passed in early 2021, and that was the House Bill 43, and it's called the Black Education Act. And inside that bill, it doesn't specifically say critical race theory, but it has those elements, the cultural, the equity, the linguistic, that's what they're calling it. And it's all this relationship, but it is critical race theory. And critical race theory is racist in itself because it teaches the white child to be an oppressor, that they are an oppressor and they have to admit to that.
They have to apologize.
And they
for
have
being
to apologize.
Yeah.
That's right. And then any color, any other color is oppressed or a victim. Mm-hmm. And they're teaching our kids to be segregated by color now. And kids are not, children are not inherently racist.
No.
I mean, and I'll say this, and I've said it before, one of my favorite videos is just a little 25-second video, and it's two friends, a little black child, a little white boy, and they come running towards each other. They see each other on the street, and they run toward each other, and they hug each other, and they're just like, oh, so glad to see each other. That is not racism. That is love between a brother and a brother or sister. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because they don't know color until they are taught that. And we don't need to be teaching that to our children in school. We need to be united in our education. We need to be involved in our children's education.
Well, HB 43 has some other problems in terms of who sponsored the bill.
Yes.
And how it's come to be. Tell us about
yep.
that.
So Ms. Stapleton, William Stapleton, is the one who brought forth that bill. And it does allocate money for that. And And we know that she had some issues with APS money. Well, 28 indictments,
she has been she has been accused of through charitable, and I'm going to put that in quotes, organizations that have been formed, and that there have been donations made to entities that may be listed as a 501c3, but her or her family members have controlled, and they've seized money. I've heard numbers as high as $3 million.
I've heard $5
million. Yeah, I mean, that's a lot.
Yes, it's a lot. So, I mean, that, to me, any bill that has appropriation of funds that,
that
was sponsored
passed,
by her.
Right?
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Yes, it did pass. And now the PED is using House Bill 43 to push their social studies curricula, which includes critical race theory. So we have to look at that. And if I can stop that curricula from coming into APS, I will. Because our children do not need to be taught that. They need to be taught how to read, write, and do math. Correct?
Yes.
That's what they need. That's what our kids need in order to pull us out of this black hole of being 49th and 50th for the last 60 years. You know, we've got to make some change. So a friend of mine says, keep your coins, give me change, right? So we need to make sure that that's what our kids are getting. So we need to look at curricula. We need to look at, you know, everything that the budget is pushing. I mean, the budget is a big part of it, right? But it's all about our students. It is all about our students. We have 72,000 students who are not getting the education that they deserve. And there are 11,000 in my district. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that I know every single principal at every single school and know every single need that that school has. And I want to make sure that they get those needs fulfilled.
Allie, I'm just fascinated with your candidacy and all the things that you're talking about, and we're going to have just one more 10 or 12 minute segment with you, but okay. We'll cover as much as we possibly can. We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Adam Holtz, and you're listening to Plugged In.
The world's moved on, Commander Bond.
You a 00?
2 years.
In the new movie No Time to Die, now in theaters, Daniel Craig takes his final bow as James Bond. He's turning over a new leaf as a married man, leaving espionage behind. Yeah, right. An explosion separates him from his wife. Though he's not officially a British spy anymore, James gets pulled into a typically Bond-like assignment anyway, stopping a maniacal madman. No Time to Die features women in revealing outfits, though Bond has left his womanizing behind. Explosions, gunfights, and beatdowns soon commence, albeit not graphically. So we're giving No Time to Die a 2.5 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. I'm Holtz, Adam Holtz, for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
Can a virtuous man hesitate? This is Roger Patterson with a minute of vision for life. As we celebrate our nation's independence today, let us recall that our liberty was not simply handed to us. American fathers and husbands left the warmth of their beds to fight the British invasion at Concord and Lexington. In his book, Seven Men, Eric Metaxas highlights George Washington's impact as a great leader of our nation in its infancy. Upon hearing of the hundreds of casualties on both sides of the fight, Washington in that moment decided to stand up and fight for the liberty of this land. One of the things that we need most in our day and time is virtuous men to stand up and fight for our families, for our faith, and for our future. You see, in our liberty, we must remember our responsibility. And the scripture calls us all to pray for those in leadership. 1 Timothy 2:2 says, pray for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives.
You've been listening to Dr. Roger Patterson with A Minute of Vision at visionforlife.org.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Allie Enenga.
Enenga.
Enenga?
Yeah. Very good.
Enenga.
There
hey,
you go.
I did it.
You did it.
See, things do improve. You've already improved our show. Thank
nice.
You.
Thank you.
But I really want you to have an opportunity to do something with the Albuquerque Public Schools. And I want to thank you, first of all, for even offering to go run for the school board, because this is not a paid position.
No, and it's been hard doing, you know, back-to-back campaigns. So
you
very overwhelming.
You have not shied away from any tough questions like critical race theory. So here's another one. about sex education? That seems to be getting more and more bizarre from what I read.
You know, it really is. And that's, you know, something that I learned about on a radio show that I was listening to. Glenn Beck was talking about it. And I was like, no, that's not happening in our schools. No. So I started researching it, and I went to PED, and I went and I typed in, because they're not calling it sex education anymore. It's comprehensive sexuality education, CSE.
And this is something you found on the New Mexico Public Education Department
Absolutely.
Website. So just letting our listeners know, this is stuff you can verify. That
That's
Allie's
right.
Telling
it's
you.
On their website. So you go, you type it in, and it takes you to a page. And it's, you know, I mean, it's like, yes, we're going to teach this, and we're teaching this, and it looks good. But when you start clicking on the links, you go to Planned Parenthood. And then you go to one that's called Healthy Teen. And if you dig deep enough in that one, you'll see a couple of different pamphlets that they're pushing on Healthy Teen. And so I don't know if it's in our schools yet, but if it's not there, it will be. It's on the PED website. And that, and I'm just going to tell you the name of that pamphlet. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Dry Humping Saves Lives. And it's geared for 6th graders to 12th graders.
Oh, my gosh.
Gives them a list, 50 places you can go and do that with a partner. So, I mean, it's really disgusting. 26-page pamphlet, that booklet, cartoon booklet. So
why are they so interested in sexualizing our children?
Very good question. There should not be any sexualizing of our children. I like to call CSE pornography for 6-year-olds, because that's what it is. I mean, they're starting in kindergarten and first grade. And I don't know any teacher that, if you're comfortable with that, there's something wrong with you teaching that. Now, I can tell you a story of a friend whose, you know, son was told it was okay in 3rd grade to go leave the classroom to pleasure himself if he needed to. So I'm being very delicate with it, but I mean, it gets very graphic, and some of the pictures in some of the books are very graphic. And so if it's not here yet, it will be here, and I want to stop that before it gets here, because it's not who we are as, you know, as a state, as a people. We're very family oriented. It's my responsibility, your responsibility as a parent, to teach your values to your child. It's not up to that teacher to teach her values or his values. And if you're teaching, you know, sex education to a 2nd grader, and you are a male teaching this to a female, or a female teaching it to a male, you know, the only people I know would be comfortable with that is probably a pedophile, and we don't need them teaching in our schools.
No.
So, I mean, it's very, if you are a Christian, you want to be able to teach your kids what your values are.
Allie, are you saying that they're trying to remove parental rights?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And my main concern is of being a voice for those parents, being a voice for the students. I talked with them. It was 4 or 5. I was at a dance, church dance. I was chaperoning. My husband and I were chaperoning. And a couple of students, you know, they're like, hey, I saw your face, you know, and I said, oh, yeah, I'm running for school board. So tell me, what would you like in a school board member? And they all unanimously said, we want someone to listen to us, because we're practically adults here. They were all 12th graders, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, and we kind of know what's good for us, and we always talk to our mom and dad, you know. So, I mean, those kids need to have a voice. Those students need to have a voice. And they were talking a lot about the masking. So, you know, they said, we didn't get sick, and we don't need a mask. If the teacher wants to wear a mask, let her wear a mask, but we don't need them. You know, so they know, you know. So being a voice for the parent, want to make sure that those parents are allowed on campus. Right now, some schools are not allowing parents to volunteer in the classroom, and they're not allowing parents on campus anymore. And that has got to stop. What are you so ashamed of that you're teaching that you don't want the parents to know? That's my question.
Yeah. Yeah, no question about it. Our listeners are hearing you talk about this, and your website is allieforkids.com?
Yes.
How can people find out more information about you?
Go to allieforkids.com. It does have an email address there and a phone number. I'm happy to answer telephone calls. I get I get warranty calls all the time that are piggybacked on local numbers, and I answer those calls because I think it might be somebody who needs a question answered about this.
Your name is written on the ballot, A-L-I-E-N-N-E-N-G-A.
Yes, sir. November 2nd.
And the election's November 2nd.
Early voting has started. So you can start at October 5th, so you can go down and vote for me at the, I guess it's the clerk's annex, and then regular early voting at different locations starts, I think, the 17th, and then November 2nd is election day.
We talked about this when you were running for the House last year, and we talked about people in the faith community, and that's not just Christians, that's the LDS community, that's people are involved in Islam and all of these things. Only about 50% of us are registered to vote. And when it comes to elections, general elections, only half of those vote.
Right.
And these special elections like we're about to have, way less people go out. And we've really got to appeal to people to, look, if you want to participate, start with voting. Your one vote is really important.
It is. And, you know, what's interesting about this election is that in 2017, it was a specialized election. It was held in February. It was just for APS, CNM, and bonds, right? And so we put in our candidacy, and then the next thing you know, you've got 30 days to get out there and talk to people. And then it was a vote in February. Now we're with the municipal elections, and so we will have more voters, so we have to reach more people. And that's one reason why I'm here, is to reach more people in my district, to let them know what really is happening, and that I am for transparency and I am for accountability. I will be held accountable for the schools in my district and for the students, and that's what I'm taking on. I will be transparent. I'll come back anytime you want me to and tell you what's going on with the board.
Allie, you've also said something to us interesting about you want accountability and you want transparency, but you'd also like parents, maybe retired business people that didn't have kids. You want anybody that can, that's interested, can pass a background check and has a love for children to be involved in the schools, maybe volunteering. And that's not something that's happening now.
Right. That's right. There, you know, I mean, of course, with the economy the way that it is, there are some people that are working two and three jobs and they can't do that. But there are grandparents that, you know, can help in the schools. And I think it's $25 or $30 to get a background check, and you get that done, and you can get it done through APS, and they will put your name on the list for this school to go and volunteer.
I think it's up to about $60, but it's really simple. And who cares if it's, if you can't afford it, let's figure out how to get you a background check. You know, I mean, if you're interested in helping our kids, but Allie, even if you wanted to do that today, APS doesn't have a way to allow you to volunteer.
Right. So we need to figure that out, because we want parents and grandparents to be involved in their child's education. It's not a babysitting factory, you know, I mean, it's not up to, just the teachers or the administration or even just the board members. It is up to all of us as a community to make sure that we are involved in our kids' education.
This isn't on our list, but I just thought of it. You left the classroom in 2015. Mm-hmm. When you left, did you feel safe physically?
I did.
From assault?
I did.
How do teachers feel today?
Well, you know, a lot of them are very, very concerned about safety. Things have kind of, you know, with this year off, kids are back in school and it's a little bit more dangerous for them. I've had a couple of teachers that have talked to me and said, well, what are you going to do about safety? I said, well, let's look at it. You know, I was fine, although I did get attacked when I was the teacher for behavioral disorder, right? So I did get attacked by one student, and I did have some anxiety and panic attacks after that. But I still felt safe. You know, I mean, he was removed from the classroom and the other students were fine. So, I, you know, that's just something that has to be definitely looked at.
Are students still passed along just because that's more convenient?
Well, that has to do with the No Child Left Behind, right? And now that's turned into ESSA, which I'm not exactly sure what it stands for. Every Student Succeeds Act, I think is what it is. Yeah. Every student succeeds. And which is interesting because they're really not succeeding. They're just getting pushed through with a different name.
So they can't read, but they're going to the next grade anyway.
They are going to the next grade anyway. Yes. And so, you know, if they're at a specific point, and it's up to the parents. The teacher cannot hold a student back. So it's up to the students. I mean, it's up to the parents to hold their students back. And a lot of parents aren't willing to do that. So,
Allie, we're going to be praying for you. Hope that your campaign goes well. We thank you for sharing your ideas with us. I hope that everybody will go to your website. Give us that one more time.
Sure. It's allieforkids.com, and there is a voter information page, so you can go there and register. You can go there and find out where your polling locations are, early voting and Election Day voting. So, and there's a map.
Outstanding. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.